I'm thankful for where he's brought me to, but I'm also, I sometimes I feel like, you know, I'm just not like I'm not the person that I'm supposed to be, to bring forth this kind of music or to be in this kind of ministry.
Hello once again and welcome to another episode. On behalf of Disciple of City, I'm Todd Carlton and this is the Toddcast. Friends, Disciple a City exists to empower and equip Christians with simple tools to share the gospel and become disciple-making disciples, to see a city, your city, come to know Jesus. For more information on what we do and how you can be resourced, check out our website at discipleacity.ca. Please like and subscribe to this podcast on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Google, wherever you're listening, and follow us on Instagram at @thetoddcast_DAC. And don't forget to download the United Hive app to share your testimonies all over the world. Today we jump down to New York City. As we oftentimes interview musical artists from different genres, today we explore something a little more on the heavy side. With an album of worship covers called Rebirth and a most recent EP called Echoes, he's a solo artist from New York City. Please welcome James Franchise.
Thank you. What's up, everybody? How you guys doing?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Pretty well, man. Hanging in there.
Awesome. Awesome. It's great to meet you. Thanks for coming on the show, taking some time to chat with us, do a little exploring of your music and your history into that. Things going good over there today? You're injured right now?
Yes. Just hanging in there. I mean, the pain, it's not too much pain, and I get reevaluated on Friday, so hopefully the cast comes off on Friday. But yeah, I broke my pinky playing basketball, but I'm doing really well.
Which isn't a huge injury, but when you play guitar, that's a big deal, man.
Right. And also I produce a lot of music and stuff, so it's just putting a delay on. I could barely like use a mouse, so it's just putting delays on different things.
Yeah. Well, we're praying for a quick recovery for you.
Thank you.
So James, just going back to the beginning, man, how did you grow up, man? Did you grow up in the church? Did you come to faith later in life, or what's your story, your background there?
So I grew up in the gospel. My mom was she served God before I was born. And so I grew up in the church, Pentecostal church in the Bronx, Spanish speaking, predominantly Spanish. And yeah, I got to know Christ a little bit more. In my late teenage years, I decided to take my walk with Christ a little bit more serious. And I learned music and I joined the worship team. And yeah, I was just a little bit drawn to heavier music as a kid. And yeah, that's how everything started, just my interest in heavy and aggressive music.
So now, how did that, were your parents open to that? Or, like a lot of times back in the day, that was looked down upon, even music that wasn't heavy back, probably before our time, certain music by the church was looked at as not good. And it wasn't even what you and I would consider heavy. But how was that looked at for you as a young fella?
So my dad went through a lot of different like seasons in his walk with Christ. So there were times where things were really, really strict in our household. And I think that was around the time where I was my brother and I, we were expressing our interest in rock music and heavy music. So when that came to light in our family, my father shut it down immediately. And we would even try to find like Christian options of rock music, but he wasn't having it at all. And he's like explicitly told us like this music is not allowed in our house. But then, like I said, he would go through different seasons, different, like spiritual seasons, and eventually he kind of understood that, we can worship God in different ways. And he understood that this is the kind of music that we liked. And we, he bought us instruments, and we gravitated towards that aggressive sound. And eventually he was okay with it. And my mom ended up buying me and my brother a bunch of CDs, like Christian rock CDs and different like compilation CDs and compilation tapes with different artists. And yeah, that's how I was introduced to that, this kind of music.
What influenced that for you and your brother? What influenced that rock?
So I can't really speak for my brother on that, but I know that he gravitated towards some friends in school that influenced him to listen to heavy music, and then he came home and he put me on to the sound, to that, you know, to some bands. And that's, it was kind of like, I was always like an aggressive child. So I think that like that music kind of spoke to me as a kid. So I think that's what kind of like made us interested in that kind of music.
And when your mom, when you got some of those Christian rock artist albums, what was that? Who was that? What bands were they?
There was a X album. It was called the X album. It was a compilation of a lot of different Christian rock artists, ranging from like hard rock to like indie rock, but there was some heavier stuff. So the earlier stuff like Under Oath was on that CD, and Demon Hunter was on that CD. Skillet was on that CD, and the band like Thousand Foot Crutch was on that. So those were like my early like introduction, kind of like my gateway bands to like Christian metal. And I was like, man, this is cool. Like I didn't know that like Christian people can make this kind of music. My initial introduction to rock was when my brother introduced me to rock. It was Blink 182, System of a Down, and Linkin Park. Like those were the early secular bands. So that's what I was firstly introduced. But then I heard these Christian bands and I was like, man, this is awesome. So I just did more digging and just started exploring more Christian rock options.
Yeah, that's interesting. So like I said to you just before the show here, I came to faith later in life. So System of a Down and, you know, heaps of other bands is what I was into. And when I came to faith, some people knowing that I was a metalhead were wanting to give me Christian options. So Demon Hunter was one of them, but I had never heard of any of these bands. And actually at the time, for me, coming to faith was so real that I didn't even actually want to listen to music. You know, I was just wanting to listen to preachers and the word and stuff. But Thousand Foot Crutch is interesting because they're Canadian. They're a Canadian band.
Awesome. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And I actually discovered them through Octane. So on Sirius Radio.
Nice.
And that's where I heard them the first time as I sort of started to get back into music. And it's cool, eh? Because it's, I imagine the other band, Skillet's the same too. It's heavy, but it doesn't have that darkness that I kind of grew up with.
Right.
So now, was there a time where you maybe not questioned your faith, but what was the period where, you know, you grow up like that with your parents, but there's a certain time where you want to, you make your faith your own, or is this for you? And was there a period like that for you? Or,
I think that like there was a few moments that happened, and, there were different traumatic experiences. I didn't grow up in a good neighborhood in the Bronx. So there was a time where I got robbed and really, really badly jumped by these three guys, and they took my phone. And I remember sinking into a really bad, like depressive state of mind. And I think that was like one of the times where I really questioned, like I kind of like felt targeted, and I was really questioning my faith at that point. There was another time as well when I got a little older where I went through a really bad breakup, really bad breakup. And that was another time where my faith was a little shaken, and I kind of I went astray from Christ for a few months, and then God met me at my lowest point and brought me right back. And that's kind of like the same song and dance throughout my adult life. You know, I've different moments where I try to just do things my own way. Just never really, it never really works. And God always finds a way to bring me back one way or another.
That bad breakup, and when you were in a really low point, and you said God met you there. Could you share a little bit about, not details about your darkest point, but what does that mean that God met you there for the listeners, you know?
So I think that I came to the realization that, like, I mean, at the time I tried many, many different things, and I always came up empty. And I think that God allowed me to go through those things to help me understand that I have to ultimately be dependent on Him. And I feel like just the outcome of my lifestyle at that time was really like that testament that, like, there really isn't a life away from God. And that testament really echoes throughout my entire walk with Christ. And that's, I feel like, just, you know, always coming up empty with everything, and an understanding that there's life abundantly in God. And that's how He met me in that lowest point.
It must have been when you were younger, and you talked about getting jumped and stuff like that. Like, that must have been pretty hard to try to, you know, forgive those guys. Like, you know, if you grew up in it, you know, you're supposed to forgive them, but gosh, there must be some anger too to that, and why you, and like you said, just processing that. I don't know how old you were, but just processing that. And that must have been a little bit of a struggle, and not wanting to, you know, get back at them or whatever, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely angry. I was 18 years old, and they even knocked my tooth out, and to this day, I still haven't replaced my tooth. So it's like a constant reminder. But yeah, I felt ugly. I felt like I didn't want to smile because of my my messed up teeth. And I was angry, not necessarily like trying to like go and find them and, you know, kind of like get revenge, but more like angry and sad. Like, I felt very, very violated. And it was a really, a really bad time. My diet changed as well. I lost a lot of weight. I just wasn't eating. It was pretty tough. But just, you know, this God being the wonderful God that He is, He's just brought me out of that place. And that's pretty much it.
Amen. When did you start playing music? Like, your mom introduced you to these bands. Did you guys start playing right away, or did that come later?
Yeah, so we learned music before we were listening to these bands. So I remember being like 10 or 11 years old, and my dad bought my brother a drum set, and he bought me a piano. And we had a very small apartment, but somehow he made it work where he put a drum set in our bedroom.
That's awesome.
And a piano in our bedroom. Yeah, it was crazy because, I mean, New York City, you would imagine we're just cooped up in an apartment building. And I don't know, like my dad just didn't care that we would make noise. And I vividly remember the neighbors from downstairs hitting the ceiling of where they're at because of the amount of noise that we made. And it was like an actual full drum set. And
Wow.
we used to just go crazy. We my dad didn't care, so we didn't care either. And I don't remember like a landlord or anything or super like ever complaining to us, just a neighbor downstairs. But we learned music, and the worship director kind of discovered us a little early, so he kind of took my brother under his wing early on, and my brother played drums for a long time in the church. And then when I got old enough, I played piano in the church and some drums, but mainly piano. And then that's when we discovered like the Christian rock bands, and then we were like, man, this is really, really cool. We learned music first, and then the discovery of like that heavy music came after.
And did you guys just start sort of playing those Christian bands? Is that what you started playing, or did you have creativity
So
where you were writing, or?
yeah, I mean, we kind of like my brother learned guitar, and he learned how to play those like that kind of music. Not necessarily like we didn't necessarily cover the songs, but he learned how to play like rock guitar. And later on, when I was a little older, I bought a guitar and I asked him to just teach me everything that he knows. And he taught me as much as he could. So from that point on, I started learning a little bit more on my own how to play heavier music.
And when did you start covering worship songs?
So I think my second band that I like actually took serious was the first worship cover that I ever did was More Love, More Power. And it was in my band Rumor Dead, and that was, I don't know, maybe like 2004 or something like that, 2005. I was a kid, and we actually we went to the studio. We went to like this guy's home studio, and we recorded it. And that was like my first ever. Like, man, worship translates over really, really well. More, like, I didn't expect it to translate over really well, and it also resonated with the people in church that we were basically just like playing to because it
Yeah.
was working. So.
I think it's awesome, right? 'Cause there's lots of genres of music and lots of people that don't know the Lord in those genres, and it's great to have everything covered. So friends, here's an example of something James has done, and this is probably the first thing that caught my attention to you. Oh, let's just bring that right back. Do it proper.
Thank you.
And I saw this and I thought, what? I gotta meet this guy.
Thank you.
You know, like, man, I came to faith as a metalhead and stuff, and heard whatever Chris Tomlin and all these people, and sort of, there's a time where your hot heart posture is there, and there's other times where just want to worship, or you're feeling really, I don't know, in a good mood and excited and stuff, and this is so fitting to that. So what has the response been, I can imagine, to doing stuff like this for you?
It's mixed. It's definitely mixed. I know that there's a group of Christians that disagree with this, Then from that group of Christians that disagree with it, there's a smaller group that they feel kind of like responsible to let me know that they disagree with it. And I think that's, those are the people that have commented, and some people have like verbally told me. But I want to say the majority of the Christians that listen to my covers, they understand. If they don't listen, or they don't understand, they don't really like listen to the genre, but they understand where I'm coming from. But then there's the group of like Christian metalheads that are just absolutely crazy about it. And one of the biggest comments that I get, like the people tell me this all the time, is that there should be more bands covering worship songs, and that they're happy that that I'm taking these worship songs and I'm reimagining them into like this heavier genre. But yeah, for the most part, it's a positive response for sure.
Yeah, that's good. On this show, we've interviewed James Mead from Cutlass, and you know, they do worship and they do rock. We've had different Christian hip hop artists that aren't necessarily doing covers of worship songs, but it's Christian hip hop, right? And they're reaching that community, and I think it's so important in all genres. And now we're hoping to get some country guests too, right, that are doing country songs for that and everything. And I think it's so important to reach these different genres of people. That's and I've seen some of the comments too on your things that have been very positive, that people are very, it's
yeah, definitely
right, it's drawn in them in and encouraging them. So in and around this, you're doing solo stuff, but you've been involved in a couple of bands, and you want to share some of the work that you've done with the different bands?
Yeah, sure. So the main band that the first band that I tried to really like take my musical career serious with was a band called Where Fire May Fail. And this was like the first introduction to the Christian music scene. And most people know me from that band, Where Fire May Fail. But then we parted ways, and then I started my solo project. But along with my solo project, I wanted to do something along the lines of pop punk worship, but also incorporating like metalcore and metal vibes to the music. And that's when I started the band called This Surrender. And This Surrender, we put out, I think, one worship album and two EPs. And we just recently dropped an EP yesterday. And then we've decided to take an indefinite hiatus. We're still going to work on music in the new year, but we aren't going to play as many shows. So that's that. Then I have a new project coming out with just a little bit more on the darker side of metal, called Rivka. So those are pretty much like my main projects.
The darker light.
Yeah.
Right. What is your favorite song on the EP Echoes?
I think it would be Final Notice. So there's a song called Final Notice. I like the song Final Notice because it's the song on the EP that the band collectively we put our minds together to create that. And I think that it's a very, very special, it's a special song. And the other songs were also collective, like collaboration effort. But Final Notice is the main one where it's just like our minds were on that song together. And it's our most ambitious one.
Here's a little sample of Final Notice from the EP Echoes. The great thing about music is you guys are taking a hiatus, an indefinite hiatus, whatever it turns out to be, but you released it, it's out there, and people can enjoy it.
Exactly.
And obviously you can find that wherever you stream music, hey?
Correct.
Awesome. So you guys played a lot of shows. Are you primarily playing in New York City? I mean, it's such a big city, right? So I imagine there's the options are endless, or?
Yeah, well, the options are definitely endless, but then that also gives it opens it up to for a band to easily play an oversaturated market. And as big as the city is, it's easy to just overplay. Especially with since the pandemic, there hasn't been many like hard rock or metal venues opening up. So it's really a small selection of venues or promoters that are booking heavy bands. So we did play New York City quite a few, but we were trying to focus more on traveling. And believe it or not, we played more shows outside of New York than we did in New York in the year and a half that we were playing live shows. So,
and how
we like to travel.
How far would you go?
Out of state? We traveled 6 hours up north. Near Canada, actually. It's a city called Carthage up in New York, like upstate New York. It's that's the furthest that we traveled. Any neighboring state that's between like four hours to 6 hours, like we travel to. Anything we can do in a day, like we travel.
And you find that particular type of music better received than New York City at this time, you think?
It really depends. New York City has definitely been our home base. We've definitely seen more success with like support. But it's really hit or miss. There's some communities that we got to know that we do have our supporters out there, but then there were other situations where we like show up to the church and there'd be like maybe like a handful of people there. So
as you've been playing around different places, have you had some great, you must have had some great conversations with some people. Has your music helped open somebody up that has wanted to come and meet you after and just, you know, like ask you stuff or just let's really open their heart?
Yeah, definitely. We get all kinds of people that come and talk to us. There was a time in particular where there was a pastor's kid who didn't, like, he didn't know that rock music could be Christian, and he was coming to us and just letting us know that it's a refreshing thing to play this kind of music where it's not traditional or specifically like gospel or like R&B or contemporary Christian music. And it was a bit of a fresh air for him, and it opened up conversations to just reminding him that, you know, he's not alone. And he expressed to us that, you know, he is a pastor's kid, but he hasn't really been following the right path lately. And we had that opportunity to talk to him, and it was special.
That's awesome.
We get opportunities like that all the time. And even in between songs, we use those opportunities to talk about Jesus and sharing that love and hope of Jesus with people.
That's awesome. It's interesting about music, whether it's, you know, secular, as they say, or Christian music or whatever, oftentimes we can feel like alone in it, right? I remember before I came to faith, driving, must have been the summer, windows down, I'm listening to System of a Down, you talked about it earlier, and this car pulls up beside me, and this guy looks at me, and his eyes get really big, and he goes, I thought I was the only one, you know, and we sort of, like, made this connection on the road, but, yeah, we can totally feel like that. I know within our ministry, when we do events at the end, sometimes they like to do a little dance party and play whatever music, and, you know, it's all good, and everybody likes it and stuff, but it's... You know, I'd like to have one of your songs blast through the end of one of our things. I'll have to talk to the director of the ministry about that. Give him a sample.
That was good.
So what is, now you're a busy guy because you're working too and you're doing the, you know, you've done all these bands and you're talking about mixing stuff. And obviously there's kids there. This is a lot on your plate right now. How do you manage all of that with kids and doing the music and stuff like that that you're doing? And it's kind of part one of where my head's at right now.
Yeah. That I get asked that question so many times, and I think that we have to learn how to be good stewards of our time. And I think that, like, there's a portion in the Bible that talks about that. Like, we have to know how to manage our time, especially as men and as head of the household, as shepherds. That's really, really important. So I've always made it a point to make sure that my family's love tank is full before I do anything involving this ministry or music or band or traveling or helping another band or helping other artists. I prioritize my family over everything. And that's number one. Number two, I don't really have a social life. I'm gonna be honest, I don't really have many friends. I mean, I may do things here and there after work with coworkers and stuff like that, but like, I'm not the type of person that I have to do something like every weekend or anything like that. So I think that kind of like opens up my time a little bit more, because I don't hang out or anything like that as much. And then I also, like, I don't really watch TV like that either. I may like watch a movie here and there, but I don't have like a show that I'm like trying to keep up with, or I don't like after work sit down in front of like Netflix or whatever for like an hour, 2 hours. So that also just opens up my time to just like do things that matter more to me. I try to be productive. I also have a long commute home, so I do a lot of like mental planning and a lot of like logistical things on the way home. So yeah, that's just managing your time really, really well. Prioritizing things, saying no to people sometimes, even family. Sometimes you have to say no. If you really believe in your craft and your band or your whatever it is that you're doing, sometimes there's moments where your brand or your craft or your band takes precedence over like hanging out with family or hanging out with friends and stuff like that. Or like I said earlier, like sitting down and watching Netflix. So definitely managing your time that's the best advice that I could give.
Hard to do a lot, but that's great advice. Very sound advice. Kind of second part to that of what I was thinking of, your wife into the same style of music as you, like loves it just as much. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Since day one, like even before we were dating, and I mean, when we were dating, when we first met, she understood that this is like what I love. And yeah, she's inclined to the same kind of music that I am. So it was, she's made it very, very easy for me to do what I love.
That's awesome.
She's a blessing.
That's great. How many kids, dude?
I have two kids.
Awesome. Best thing going, eh?
Yeah, 8 months and 8 years old. So it's an interesting dynamic at home.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so fun. So fun. And it goes by super fast.
Yeah, it does. We understood that with the first one. We didn't, like, we heard it said, and we didn't really, like, understand, like, yeah, you know, it goes by fast. Yeah, that's fine, that's fine. But now we're really trying to, like, cherish our new baby, and because we know that it's gonna fly by.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So you have talked about what's next musically and stuff. Where are you hoping to see yourself musically in the next year or so? What are your hopes?
I really want to establish my new project, Rivka. As many times as people say, like, James, you're so awesome at guitar, or you're so good at producing music, and you play all these instruments yourself, and you produce these heavy worship covers. I understand that I have my limitations, and I feel like my strength is being a frontman vocalist of a band. And with my new project, I've switched my role from guitarist vocalist to just a frontman vocalist. And I think that this is going to be like my best work yet. So in a year, I really hope that my new band Rivka is established with hopefully a new EP before the springtime of next year, and a bunch of shows lined up. And yeah, just trying to get our music out there for sure.
Yeah. What is, oh, you know what? Here's another one. Let me just play this really, because you did, this is a cover of Killswitch Engage, hey? Or no, this is, let me just is play it? This. This is okay. Really, this is really good. Rage was Christian. So who is this? Because the camera's moving between everybody so quick.
Oh, that's my old band, Where Fire May Fail. So, yeah, my old vocalist, the guy that's singing, he didn't really have any vocal training or anything like that, but he sent a random voice note one time of him singing, and I was like, man, you sound good. For someone that has not had vocal training or anything, like, he had, like, this powerful opera, like, soulful voice, and I was like, man, this is going to translate so well to, like, what we want to do. So we worked together. He refined his vocals, and we all love the band Killswitch Engage, and we weren't, like, trying to copy them, but we definitely we took inspiration from that band, and that's what you hear when you hear Where Fire May Fail.
And this, like, the harmonies, like, everything, and that's really good. This is one of those things that this is one of those things that for me, when you're cruising through a reel on Instagram and you see this, it's not long enough.
That's the point, for you to replay it so I could get monetized.
Yeah, dude. Watching it, like, why is this so short? okay, well, then I'll just let it play in the background over and over and over again to help you out, bro. Thank you. Man, tell me about, I'll just check the time here because I want to respect your time, but just tell me about how is the Lord speaking to you in what you're doing, and the music, and guiding you in that? And do you oftentimes find yourself in prayer seeking him for guidance for what you're doing musically?
So I have a clear understanding that I'm chosen to do this. And I spoke about this a little bit earlier, and not to give me, like, any credit or anything like that. Like, I hate taking credit for any of this. I know that I've been given a gift, and all glory and honor goes to God for any good thing that you guys hear with my covers or anything like that. That's all him. That's all God. And that's Jesus, the little bit of Jesus that I have in my heart. That's what you guys hear. But I often struggle with just feeling like equipped for this kind of ministry. And at times I feel like I'm a very, very poor reflection of Jesus, and I make stupid choices, and I have made stupid choices, especially this year. And that's kind of like one of the main things that when I'm talking to God, I'm just like, I'm thankful for where he's brought me to, but I'm also, I sometimes feel like, you know, I'm just not like, I'm not the person that I'm supposed to be, to bring forth this kind of music or to be in this kind of ministry. And, I think that, he's often reminds me that most of the people that he's chosen in the Bible have been like misfits and outcasts and the underdogs. And those are the people that he specifically chooses to bring him glory. So I think that that's kind of like, that's been like my theme throughout, like me trying to create this kind of reimagined look at these worship songs is, you know, God takes like a piece of garbage and elevates it to give himself glory, to bring glory to him. And that's where my mind state is at.
That's good. And it also sounds like a little bit that the enemy's trying to whisper in your ear and tell you that, you know, you're not good enough or whatever, and all these different things, which to me is really cool, because it means you must be doing the right thing. Otherwise he doesn't really speak. Hey,
right.
So good for you, man, and keep pushing along.
I'm trying, man. I'm trying.
All right. Well, James, where can people find your stuff? People can find your music, obviously, wherever they stream music.
Yeah. YouTube Music, Amazon. I'm limited financially, but I'm working really hard on getting CDs and merch printed out, so that, because I know that there's a group of people that still collect CDs and they like to collect things. So I'm trying to just manage my money in a way where I can just have that available for people. But yeah, anywhere you listen to music, and if you are looking for different ways to support me, you can head on over to my website at jamesfranchise.com.
And Instagram too, guys. James Franchise on Instagram, and obviously, like everything else, you can click the link in the bio and find different things through there too, right? You're on Facebook, all the places. Yep.
Correct.
Which is really cool. We're only on Instagram. Toddcast isn't doing Facebook and TikTok, and I just,
okay. Yeah. You know, there's a different demographic on each social media platform, so you'd be surprised that you reach different people.
There is. It's just like, I don't have the time, man.
It sucks.
Right? Like, it's a lot. So soon to be on YouTube, though, everyone. And this might be actually the first. So this is a new little studio here for me. So this might be the first episode on YouTube. Want to do that. So
that would be cool.
Yeah. James, thanks a lot for your time, man. Appreciate you.
It's my pleasure.
I really like what you're doing. And just have one more question for you, my friend. You talked about that unfortunate thing while you were 18, where you got jumped. And if you were at a show, you're doing a show, and you know, somebody, a teenager, comes up to you to talk to you after, and I don't know, maybe you shared the testimony from the stage, or somehow they knew, and the same thing had happened to them, and they were really struggling as a Christian on how to cope with that, the normal stuff that anybody would cope with dealing with that, but also from a faith perspective, man, what would you say to them?
I would say find your faith community and stick to your faith community. I know that when that kind of stuff happened to me, there was my youth pastor and my faith community really was there for me. And ultimately just talk to God and just be honest with how you feel. Sometimes we feel like maybe we can't just talk to God with exactly our like our raw emotions, but that's like God wants to hear that. So just be honest with God and be honest with yourself, and just cling on to that, to that support, and that's what helped me during that time.
Awesome. Thanks very much, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. No problem, man.
Lots of different stuff out there, friends. Lots of different ways and music to connect. I mean, scripture is so key. So obviously prayer and the word will bring us to the Lord. The Lord wants to be worshiped. And he's made us all in his image. So that means whether it's country or hip hop or metal, he's put that in us. And whatever he's put in you, I just encourage you to embrace that and worship him in that way. And from metal to this song, it all points to the Lord. Be blessed, my friends, and we'll see you next time.